This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Hi, good morning. It's a Four Nations Friday. We've dubbed it off the U.S. win over Finland. Four Nations is a rollicking good time for Montreal and Boston. The U.S. plays Canada on Saturday, tomorrow night, 8 p.m., and we're excited about that. Meanwhile, in studio, we have a guest in studio to talk a little bit of stadium news and soccer news as well. Peter Marlett Jr., president of Buffalo Pro Soccer, joins us in studio. Peter, we've met. We had a chance to talk about all your what's going on. I know you've spoken down the hall with WBEN. It's your first time with us here. So, first off, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Pro move coming in studio. Not many people come in studio, probably because of the time of day we're on early in the morning.
Yeah, no, coming in, getting to actually see you guys, it just makes it a little better interaction.
Yeah, not bad at all. So, happy to have you here. So, for people wondering, like, you know, who are you? Why are you here talking stadium soccer stuff, Buffalo Pro Soccer? There's a good chance to kind of get to know you and what's going on, because there have been a lot of stories, BEN, the newspaper, about a potential soccer stadium downtown. So let's start right at the beginning. Who you are, what you want to do, for the listener out there that might be thinking Pro Soccer, FC Buffalo, how's it all tie in? Where do we begin?
Yeah, so it would begin. I'm from Buffalo. I grew up in Buffalo. You know, went away to college, played some college soccer, was an All-American in college, and played a couple years professionally after that. But pretty early on in my pro soccer career, I saw what I was as a player, and it was fine, but it wasn't going to take me where I wanted to be. So, you know, still had that passion for soccer and desire to stay in the game in whatever way I could. So stepped off the field and got into the business of sports back in about 2012, I believe it was. Moved home, worked for Ad Pro Sports for a while, and then spent some time over in Switzerland. I lived in Switzerland, Italy, and then came back and worked for FC Dallas of Major League Soccer. And then prior to this opportunity in Buffalo, I was general manager of the USL League One club in Omaha, Nebraska, Union Omaha, the four teams that I built there. So I managed both the sporting operation and the business operation there. And the four teams I built, we won 3 regular season championships, 2 playoff championships, and we're financially a very successful club as well. And that's what led to this opportunity in Buffalo. The league knew I was from Buffalo, and I say the league, I mean the CEO and the executives at the league, knew I was from Buffalo, desperately wanted a team in Buffalo, and that's them. Of course, I did too, but they're the ones that really felt it was a perfect market. And in my third season at Omaha, they you know, approached me with the opportunity to come home and start building this. So it's USL Championship is the league, which is the second division of professional soccer in the U.S., sitting right under Major League Soccer. Unlike American professional sports or traditional American professional sports, it's not AAA, it's not AHL, it's not a farm league. The players are completely independent. The clubs are completely independently operated. Player contracts are held by us. So it's a really high quality on-field product.
And in terms of the, you know, the current state of where everything sits with that league and tournaments, like one thing, if you're not a soccer fan, like you have the U.S. Open Cup, right? Like there are crossovers sometimes with MLS.
Yeah, the U.S. Open Cup, and this tournament exists in every country in the world, but here right. It's the U.S. Open Cup. But the Open Tournament, where amateur teams can qualify for it, but every level of the pros enter into this tournament every year. And yeah, it is it's luck of the draw who you get paired up against. I will say in Omaha, in 2022, we went to Soldier Field to play Chicago Fire of Major League Soccer and beat them. And standing down on Soldier Field and looking up after just beating the team that calls that home was a pretty cool experience. We then went to Minnesota United, another Major League Soccer team, beat them, and ended up losing in the quarterfinal in Sporting Kansas City in front of sold-out crowd of 24,000 people there. So U.S. Open Cup, and again, that was just draw, right? You have to win the games to move on to the next round. You could get paired up with anybody, though. And we were unlucky, 50-50 shot of whether you host or have to go on the road. And we just lost those coin flips, so I had to go on the road every time. But there's a very real opportunity to host, you know, an MLS team at any point.
I think a lot of people know MLS, the success of MLS in the U.S., you know, the growth of professional soccer. From a USL standpoint, you said the one league below. What does that look like around the rest of the country? What markets are involved, the stadiums, the attendance? What is the product that's USL?
Yeah, so USL had 24 teams in the league last year. It is completely national, divided into an Eastern and Western Conference. It's 25 this year with the addition of a team in Lexington, Kentucky, who just built a brand new 7,500-seat stadium there, which is beautiful. So immediately surrounding us, you know, the teams that would be our closest regional rivals would be Detroit, Pittsburgh, Hartford, Providence, Pawtucket, and Brooklyn has an expansion team coming in 2026 as well. But it is completely national.
And games. This league, you said 24 last year. Are they expanding to a bigger number? Is there a goal that USL wants?
Yeah, so they don't have a publicly stated goal, but they have been very public about their desire. So USL operates right now, USL Championship and USL League One. Championship is the league that we have the rights to here in Buffalo. That's the second division, as I said. Mm-hmm. League One is the third division. And then there's League Two, which is what FC Buffalo currently plays in, which is the elite level of amateur soccer in the U.S. USL also announced yesterday that they would be pursuing a league in Division One status, so same level as MLS. And that's all to say they've been very publicly considering and pushing towards promotion and relegation here in the U.S., and I believe that this announcement yesterday is a pretty positive step in that direction.
Right, that's not something we see here, you know, owners with, of course, like every once in a while they could suggest it, like, oh, the NFL, the NHL should have this. Like, that'll never happen. It's got to start kind of at an organic level for growing leagues that are not fully established. Yeah. To get to down into what's happening here and what your goals are to bring a team here and to make it happen, stadium is a big part of it. You mentioned Lexington builds a brand new 7,500-seat stadium. What's the vision for that here right now?
Yes, yeah, so we have been for probably the past 9 months. So I've been back in town doing this since January 1st of last year. So it's been, you know, 13-plus months now. The first 3 months of that were, you know, securing the seed funding, making sure the business model and the financials really did make sense. You know, the league certainly said they did, but we had to verify everything. And then going out and raising some capital to get us to this point that we're at today. So about the last 9 months or so have been purely dedicated to locating the ideal stadium site and talking to architects and developers and all the other various stakeholders that are involved in something like that. And we've gotten to a very advanced point there.
And three sites?
Three sites.
Yep. The one that's getting, I think, the most traction, I think, publicly is the one that's downtown.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what is the site and what's the vision there?
Yeah, so that site is it's the Cobblestone District. So it is the parking lot, and Sabres fans will know exactly where this is. It's the parking lot between the HSBC atrium and the Buffalo News building, you know, right across the street from the arena. Mm-hmm. That one is getting the most public traction because it is, by multiples, the most expensive of the options. Mm-hmm. And as such, if we're going to go there, we're going to require public funding, and we've requested that gap to be made up by the state. That is why that's the most public one.
Okay.
The other two and because it's a great site. I mean, it would you know, create a stadium district. You've got the arena. You've got the ballpark. You've got the casino right there, your Harbor Center.
Yep.
You know, it's a great site also. But the reason that one is getting the coverage and the other two are not is because that's the public one right now.
Right.
Yeah. The other two, I will say, are in the city of Buffalo and are also in great locations. I hired a firm called CSL International, who some Bills fans may know because they did some market studies on the Bills' new stadium, but mm-hmm. they're a national firm that does economic impact analysis and market feasibility studies for pro sports stadiums. Had them come in and they assessed you mentioned that there are three finalist sites. They assessed all three of these sites, and they all absolutely work. If you're talking about impact on the people of Buffalo and on the city of Buffalo, that very public site does have the greatest impact. Mm-hmm. But it works, and it's good at any of them.
How much of that is just what's right around it, right, already, like the current infrastructure?
That's exactly right. And then also what's right around it, as in the current just desert of parking lots or whatever
you want
to call it. So yes, there's great infrastructure. There's a metro rail going right there, but it's also a tremendously underdeveloped area compared mm-hmm. to the space that's there.
Right.
Peter Millett Jr. of president of Buffalo Pro Soccer in studio with us to talk about this stadium idea and the USL. When it comes to the league and the stadium, you know, when it's finally fully built, I don't know if there are numbers that you could just rattle off about this. I'm a dad with two kids. Is what USL looks for here a sporting event that's high level, that is affordable, that is, you know, the growing economic landscape of the NFL and NHL and whatever? You're trying to find a little bit of a middle ground that you can go see a live sporting event, which people of course love to attend, but it's just a different level of economic investment from just every consumer that's going to go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And USL fills that gap in their markets really nicely. But we have based our pro forma and all our financial modeling around an average ticket price of $34 and some change. Now, that will include, as part of that, the safe standing area, you know, the get in the door ticket, which will all in hover right around $15. So, you know, anybody can come in. It needs to be accessible financially to everybody. But I will say that CSL survey that I mentioned earlier, which we got thousands of responses from Western New Yorkers here, did indicate that some people want an elevated experience and mm-hmm. want the suites and want sideline seats, field level seats, stuff like that. And, you know, there will be higher amenity, higher price tickets in the stadium, but anybody who wants to come in, bring a family, is going to be able to do so without blowing up their budget for the week.
You said in the league it's what? Did you say average like 7,500 for
the stadium size? The stadium size, it varies, but okay. Yes.
But anyways, what would you, is it too early to know, like, even like ballpark, like what size level we're talking?
No, so we're going to be between 7,500 and 10,000 to start, no matter what site mm-hmm. we end up at. But I will say all the conversations from day one with the developers and any architects were that is where we're going to start. But we want to build in plans to expand this because we believe that the market can actually support bigger than that. We just need to start, you know, start a little more reasonably.
Is the market, you know, being able to sustain more, like, is that all the way up to the league level? Like when you mention, like, you know, those that feel like it can work here, mm-hmm. is that A lot. How much of that is based on like just seeing like what like Bills tailgates are like, and just like the overall sports atmosphere of the city?
I mean that's absolutely massive. You know, you've got to look at the demographic breakdowns of markets in USL that work. You're just talking population, you're talking average income, you know stuff like that. And Buffalo matches up really, really nicely and even favorably to a lot of the successful USL markets. But then you got to look beyond that into the sports culture, and everybody recognizes Buffalo's the best pro sports town in the country. I mean, you look at the Bills, you look at, I mean, even the Sabres, despite this drought, you know, I still go to games. I still love it, you know, and that exists in Buffalo, and it's not everywhere in the country.
Peter Marlette, president of Buffalo Soccer. When's the season? Downtown? Outdoors, what is the time frame, year to year, start to end of year?
Would there be like timing of games too? Like how often would it be if the stadium was in the site we're talking about? I'm assuming you would work with like not crossing over the same time as a Sabres game. It might be tough. I don't know.
No, you know what? There's very little overlap in the seasons, anyways.
Okay.
Especially with the Sabres playing a shorter season than we would like. But the USL season starts in middle of March, and regular season ends in October, and then playoffs go for a few weeks in November. So it's mostly spring, summer, fall, and doesn't have a ton of overlap. And that, when you're talking about cadence of games, it's 34 regular season games. Then you've got, 17 home. Then you've got Open Cup built in there. Then you've got playoffs built in there, which I fully expect we'll be playing in every year. That's going to be the case. So you look for, you know, Saturday night home games. That's your ideal in the warm weather months, at least. And at any of the three sites, we're talking about Cobblestone, but the other two are very close to there, honestly. That's going to be the case at any of those sites.
With regard to FC Buffalo, I saw a partnership with the Youth Academy. You know, we've of course, know Nick Mandola. You know him as well. We've had discussions about FC Buffalo, the role that's had in this market. How do these two entities coexist? Are they sister, brother franchise? How does that whole umbrella happen if there is a relationship?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a relationship. And I mean, it started, I played for FC Buffalo when I was in college, maybe, you know, I don't know, 16. Well, they started 15 years ago, so it must have been in year one, I guess. So I've known Nick for a very long time. Like I said, played for FC Buffalo and its NPSL predecessors before that. This agreement with FC Buffalo to bring their FC Buffalo youth programming under the Buffalo Pro Soccer umbrella is something that Nick and I had been talking about for a while, and is something that I'm thrilled to see happen. They've laid a really good foundation, but we have access to more resources. We're talking financial resources. We're talking coaching. We're talking connections throughout, you know, the soccer world, soccer nation. And this is going to give those youth players, those top young players in the city and in Western New York and Southern Ontario, a direct path to the pro game, which has never existed in Buffalo before.
Is there a timeline in your mind right now that feels realistic for all of this to start coming together?
Yeah, well, for the pro team, I figured. I talked to Justin Papadakis, who's the CEO of USL, yesterday, and gave him a very positive update. We're March of 26. I'm fully expecting us to be playing in a new stadium.
In March of 26.
Looking at pictures of this Lexington Stadium, the one that just got built, which, you know, 7,500-seat stadium, it's nice, you know, does the job, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's... We certainly don't want to go smaller than that, because this market is bigger than that. We can support more than that, and we know that without having to prove concept somewhere. But building it in a way that is manageable from day one and manageable from a cost standpoint, and then allowing it to grow as the market proves necessary, that makes the most sense. So, you know, we may be bigger than that, but we're going to be between 7,500 and 10,000, depending on the site that we end up at.
Next thing, you were just mentioning like timeline, March 2026. Yeah. What's the next thing for us to keep an eye on? Like what happens from here?
Well, I mean, in the immediate future, we're going to be selecting a site and making that announcement. a modular stadium is what we're going to be building here. And for those that aren't familiar with modular construction, it is very similar to traditional construction in that, you know, electricians, the construction managers, the people working on it will build it very much the same way they do anything else. The difference is it is a prefabricated stadium that is built, well, built elsewhere.
But put together like a puzzle?
Exactly, pretty much. Okay.
Didn't Miami's MLS stadium do this?
They play in a modular stadium, and it's spectacular. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So, the reason that I'm so confident in that March of 20, I mean, listen, that the season starts, the 26th season starts probably 13 months from today, you know, like it's very close, is because of the modular capabilities. These stadiums can go up in a matter of months once the site is prepped. And every day I'm having conversations with you know, local developers, local construction managers, and making sure that we can meet that timeline, and we should be able to.
Well, if you need anything from me, one thing I do professionally is tell professional sports organizations when they have a bad team name, like the Utah Yeti or the Seattle Kraken. No, whatever you decide on, you know, colors and all that, like whatever.
Listen, we'll run it by you because we're going to need buy-in. So.
I got to be honest. Like I'm self-reporting. I'm just a hater on so many new names. So maybe
we've got to avoid that.
Maybe I'm not the best for that.
Yeah. All right.
How many of the USL teams are like team names versus just like whatever FC?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think USL. You know, I don't know the exact breakdown, but I would bet that it's about, you know, 60%. Team names, and then and then 40%, you know, traditional.
Looking at Charleston Battery.
Charleston Battery.
That's a cool one.
Exactly. All right.
But a lot of FCs, a Legion mixed in here.
I see a Tampa Bay Rowdies in here, though. They're mixed in.
Yeah, so Charleston and Tampa, those are, you know, kind of original clubs. Charleston makes an argument, since the Rochester Rhinos folded, to be the oldest, longest-running professional soccer team in the U.S. So you'll see there was a trend in American pro soccer, you know, maybe within the past 5-10 years to try to go emulate the European naming structure.
Right.
And I think we're almost getting out of that a little now. It was a phase, I think.
There's a lot of that. I mean, it's happening. It's crossing over. Utah Hockey Club still exists, and they might stick with it.
They might stay.
And the Washington Football Club almost stuck with it instead of going to Commanders. So, Peter, thanks for coming in and the update, and best of luck moving forward.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
President of Buffalo Pro Soccer, Peter Marlette Jr. here with us in studio. And there's an article at WBEN's website. I'll tweet out. Brayton Wilson had an update on this and an interview also with you and Nick talking about that partnership with FC Buffalo. So, best of luck, and I'm sure we'll talk in the future.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Jeremy and Joe back on the other side. Connor Rogers on the Jets, who have announced they are moving on from Aaron Rodgers. So we'll dig into the Jets a little bit, get back to some phone calls on football, and celebrate a Four Nations Friday off the U.S. win over Finland. It's 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
When they had conversations with Aaron Rodgers about what the future would look like, if you're going to be part of this team, you're going to attend all of the training camp, you're not going to do Pat McAfee interviews anymore. If you were to stay here, here's how we would want it to be. So this, to me, is Aaron Glenn getting control back.
It's Diane Rossini from earlier in the week on the changes with the Jets. As we get ready to talk to Connor Rogers on the Western Hotline, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Connor of NBC Sports, Jets pre- and post-game, and he's on the Western Hotline. Connor, good morning. Thanks for taking some time today.
Good morning, guys. No problem. How you doing?
Good. You know, Diana Rossini right there on the split between the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. It sure does sound like an organization that in hiring Aaron Glenn, they might have wanted to do exactly this, which was wrench back the narrative, wrench back control, or at least the belief that they are, you know, not just operating at the whim of a star quarterback, but instead trying to be a kind of a big boy organization again.
Yeah, I think that's the right read on it. I think it's hard to keep a guy like Aaron Rodgers, unless he's playing at an incredibly high level, when you're trying to establish a totally new culture, new mindset, new DNA. And, you know, the Jets really didn't have any of those things under the previous coaching staff. They were kind of a rudderless ship. It was really the Aaron Rodgers experience. And, you know, it felt like some of the things he came in with, you know, made it that way. And some of the things Robert Saleh and eventually Jeff Ulbrich and Joe Douglas even allowed kind of let it get that way. And I think Glenn and the new GM, Darren Mooji, even though this is Glenn's organization now, kind of saw it and said, listen, it's just not going to work that way. If we want to come in and establish things our way, it feels like that could become a game of tug of war. And that's really the underlying factor. I can't stress this other part enough. Financially, if they kept Aaron Rodgers this year and they weren't reworking the contract, the cap ramifications into 2026 and beyond would have just been catastrophic compared to what they're dealing with now, where they can kind of eat the cap hit into two different years, and it's relatively manageable in this salary cap world. So I think Rodgers just simply wasn't good enough anymore to justify all of those things.
Did it take, you think, ownership? I mean, for any of these, I'm sure it would have, but ownership signing off on calling it quits on this? Or
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you feel like maybe by the time last season ended that Woody Johnson and whoever is at the top of the organization might have just been done anyway?
I think they had a lean on the latter part, but this is something they talked about when they interviewed everybody. They brought this up. They asked plenty of candidates, like, hey, you know, how would you handle the situation if you had the big chair? And it was something they were fascinated by, you know, the thought process of the candidates that were interviewing for these jobs of how they would handle it. Because the Jets know, especially Woody at the top, that they've fallen victim to being, you know, a little bit tunnel vision, stuck in their own world, and they wanted to kind of see outside thoughts. And they interviewed a ton of people, as everybody knows, for both GM and head coach. So they had a good idea of who they were hiring, how they would handle this, and this has been discussed for a really, really long time. But I think at the end of the day, if who they hired really wanted to keep Rodgers, I think there was going to have to be a lot of things talked through with ownership and with him directly, and that was, of course, reworking the contract. I don't know how much Rodgers, you know, media obligations ultimately played into this. I'm sure they don't love it, because when things are going bad and the Jets had a really bad season, those things don't really help. I think some guys in the locker room probably look around and go like, man, like, do we need this right now? So I'm sure those things, you know, supplement the problems. But yeah, they seem to kind of make up their mind, but they did give the GM and head coach full autonomy to make this decision on their own.
Making this decision is, you know, one to start a direction change. Connor, how much of a rebuild, tear down, how drastic will it be? They've got the 7th pick, a 5-12 season's pretty bad. Is it going to be bring in a different veteran and try to get things going? Because there are pretty good pieces on this team. Or is it about, you know, stripping it?
Yeah, they're not going to do that, as far as I can tell, because that would mean, to me at least, contemplating the thought of trading at least one of Sauce Gardner or Garrett Wilson. Like, if you're going to strip it and rebuild it, what you do is you try to get future assets, you know, for anyone that you possibly can. And the Jets just don't view themselves as that. I don't think they view it as, hey, we're going to go spend all the money in free agency and we're going to trade all our picks to try to get Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, and we think we're going to win next year. I think you can kind of hang around in the middle a little bit while you're getting your feet under you. I wouldn't be shocked if they add a veteran quarterback in free agency, so they have Tyrod Taylor and a veteran quarterback going into this camp, which I know is uninspiring, right? Like, the Jets are not going to be a top flight or even probably even middle pack of the league quarterback room, and that's just an issue that they understood when they were moving on from Rodgers. But they feel like the rest of the roster can help them start to establish what they want to be on the defensive side of the ball, especially getting Jermaine Johnson back. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Jamie and Sherwood in free agency in the middle of the field at linebacker for them. They're going to let DJ Reed walk in free agency, so they'll have one of the three corner spots open. But offensively, like, they have their guys from left tackle all the way to right guard. That's a really, really young group across four. We'll see if they bring back Morgan Moses at right tackle. They want Garrett Wilson here for a really long time. Obviously, you have your three running backs in this backfield, headlined by Breece Hall. They need a tight end. They obviously need another player at quarterback. But, yeah, I think they're comfortable with going with a bridge option this year, seeing what happens, and setting up a good team for when the day comes that they do have a young quarterback under center. Because for so long, they've done it the opposite way, where they've had a young quarterback under center walking into a bad situation where they had to be the savior, and that's why it never worked for any of these guys, whether it was Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, and they had their own faults in those eras, but the Jets didn't help those guys either.
Connor Rogers with us, also the co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, which is a great listen. I would definitely recommend it during draft season. So would you then, with that being said, it's funny, like, I was kind of almost half kidding about Tyrod being the starter for the Jets this year, but maybe there's a real chance of that. Do you feel like it's definitely a veteran, though, that will go with them? Would you, like, rule out them picking a quarterback at 7 or even moving up for one right now?
I'd be really surprised. I'd never say never, because the draft always has a few surprises, but the supply just doesn't really match up for a team like that, unless they're convinced that Cam Ward, who I like, unless they're convinced Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, who I don't even think I would take Shedeur Sanders at 7, to be honest with you, and he won't be there anyway. Unless they're convinced one of those guys is the answer to the point where you're trading, say, 3 1s, like your current one and your next 2 1s, to go up to number 1 overall to take him, and that'd be really surprising with a new regime, then I don't see them doing that. And then you kind of find yourself in the middle where, say they take Jackson Dart or Will Howard or Kyle McCord or whoever it may be on day 2, those guys aren't going to start out of the gate. Like, that's not realistic at all to expect from that. So Tyrod's money is guaranteed. He was really, really loved in that locker room last year. The thing with Tyrod is nobody in the organization or really in the NFL, they don't think he can't play. That's not the question. Like, can you get middle of the pack quarterback play from Tyrod? Which every time he comes in to play for a team, that seems to be fine, even as recently as with the Giants. The problem is, can he stay healthy? Because he typically can't. So I think that's why you probably need another veteran quarterback, where you'd need two bridge guys almost in this situation. And then you could still draft a young guy later on. You're not going to do that at 7, but you could still do that later on, see what you have in him, and you kind of put your foot forward that way. So, like I said, it'll probably be lacking. The Jets have gone for flash at quarterback over the last couple of years. Zach Wilson at 2, the big trade for Aaron Rodgers. It feels like they are going to go the complete opposite direction this offseason, barring a huge surprise.
Connor Rodgers on the Western Hotline. Connor, before we let you go, Four Nations, you digging it?
Oh, it's amazing. What do you guys think?
I love it.
It's exceeded expectations. You know, we've dubbed it a Four Nations Friday. It's been great.
I think everybody was, not everybody, but people were like, I don't know. It's not the Olympics. It's the four teams, because it's an NHL event and they need to fill the rosters. And then all of a sudden you see Jack Hughes and Austin Matthews on the same line, and you see the Tkachuks together. Mind you, I'm a huge Rangers fan, so like I'm always rooting against these guys, and now you're rooting for them. And Canada-Sweden was awesome in overtime the other night. Like, it's just, I think why it's so good, guys, besides you get to see what we haven't seen before, which is always really, really fun, is that I think it's really even. I know the USA ran away with it in the third period last night, but I think Finland's got they have loaded at forward. Like, I think every single game is going to be really, really good, at least for the first two periods.
Yeah, I agree. I do have one more thing for Connor here, because he also does the fantasy football happy hour.
Okay.
And Connor, I am a crazy person enough that I have a draft tomorrow. So,
oh my God,
I don't know that you're going to be able to tell me early enough like who I should pick at 13. But I'm almost wondering just who the number one pick is at this point. This league is supposed to be nuts, by the way. It's not, you know, it's meant to be a February draft.
So is this a rookie draft or a total redraft?
No, it's total redraft. So you would pick rookies not knowing what team they're going to be on.
Right.
Which is going to make it more risky. But yeah, I'm like,
oh man.
I mean, the top pick is who? I mean, you probably have not thought about this question one time yet.
I'm sure
I'm the first.
We actually, on Radio Row, we brought it up briefly because we were kind of just kicking it around with the season Saquon had. Like, is it the year where everybody's so trying to be risk averse and be careful about taking a running back number one overall, no matter how good they are?
Yeah.
I think the first three picks will be Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Saquon Barkley. I don't know the exact order. I would guess that order.
Yeah.
Depending on your scoring settings, of course, as well. But I think that's ultimately how it's going to go. I tried to get into a best ball draft this week as well, because I'm insane like you, just to kind of see how it goes, like a $10 play. It didn't fill yet, but I'm just fascinated to see how things go. That's why I want to get one in the tank here.
Yeah, I just want to know what it feels like when Bucky Irving is the first player I draft in a fantasy draft, because that might be tomorrow. That might be tomorrow.
Or Ashton Jeanty, honestly,
sure.
A guy that has not played an NFL snap. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, Connor Rodgers of NBC Sports and Jets pre and post and everything else as well. The fantasy football co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange. He does everything. Connor, thanks so much for taking some time for us.
Oh, great talking to you guys. Have a good one.
You too. Ashton Jeanty. Listen, I would love to have Bucky Irving.
Bucky Irving's going to be...
I'd love to have Bucky Irving.
He's going to be awesome. Just look, one early ranking, he was ranked as the 7th running back for this coming fantasy season.
Where's James Cook?
We talked James Cook today.
That was the
first time he said his name.
It's right. Sal had an interesting question about Cook yesterday that I want to bring up before we get out of here today.
13th.
13th.
Just behind, one spot behind Chase Brown.
Listen, Chase
of the Bengals.
Chase Brown impressed me last year. I thought pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
All right. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We got some stuff coming up still for you. It's a Four Nations Friday. The U.S. and Canada.
See, everyone loves it.
Everyone's loving the Four Nations.
How could you not love it?
What's not to love?
It's awesome. I can't. Tomorrow, I hope, is going to meet expectations. Tomorrow's going to, like, give me 8-7 with brawls and everything. Come on. It's fun to root for a hockey team that's actually good.
Yes, it is.
And it is, like, I agree with our caller from earlier. I am enjoying rooting for Eichel again. And I'm not really, I was wondering, would I have a problem? Like, would it be weird or would I struggle with it? Like, I'm not really struggling with it at all. He was right about everything.
Yeah.
What I guess for me personally, I have nothing left to hate him for. I did not like what he said after they played the Sabres the first time. I think I've well gotten over that, though.
Sure.
He was emotional. Does it?
He was treated, you know, like a big, big villain and scapegoated a lot.
He was a pretty big baby after that game, though.
Sure, right. He deserved whatever. It's water under the bridge. All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us on WGR. All right, we're just talking about something at break. You ready to get stupid? Let's get stupid.
All right,
fast one. Let's get stupid. So I saw a clip, Michael Wilbon calling for the NBA to get rid of the All-Star game. Follow suit. Do what the NHL's doing. Get rid of it. Okay, could the NBA do a four nations? U.S., Canada, France.
And like Serbia, right. Probably, but maybe you could.
Maybe not.
Yeah, someone else.
Then I thought, could the NBA do a different format? How could they fix it? How could they? What about this? What would there be pride for
in the NBA?
Yeah. What could you? You got to convince them to play a four-team tournament for pride. I've got my idea. You ready?
Those who think LeBron's the GOAT and those who think Jordan's the GOAT.
Team GOAT. Yeah. There you go. No,
the GOAT Bowl.
Could you find your way to some version of like an alumni tournament?
With the older players, like that are retired.
Guys, skip. No. I mean,
oh, from college,
Alabama.
Oh,
Florida, Duke.
This is pretty good.
This year, here are the four alumni NBA teams.
Yeah.
Playing for bragging rights. I've got
Team Duke,
Florida for sure.
Of NBA players.
Well, there would have been a period where Florida was it, but maybe not right now.
Yeah, I think Joakim Noah is retired. But no,
it was a sick burn, and I accept it.
Like Villanova,
I was thinking Florida, like because what
Florida hasn't been good at basketball since the Sabres were good.
No, but what I'm saying is what schools would we?
Yeah,
would,
no, I
would
be. Yeah, but the idea,
the
I think
players
actually, I like.
Would want to prove it.
Yeah, that's totally right.
And you just say
that's totally true. I like that.
NBA players by college. Here we go.
For some guys, too, that'd be like a redo of like, hey, we got knocked out in the first round of March Madness. This is our time to
this year,
get the NCAA on board, too, so you could wear the actual jerseys of the teams.
This year. And you'd rotate. This year, we're going to do Kentucky, Villanova, Kansas, and Gonzaga.
Yes.
There's
love
it. Your four-team.
Oh, this is a good idea. This doesn't belong in Let's Get Stupid. I love this idea.
Kentucky has 29 NBA players, Duke 23. I mean, you couldn't fill full rot. Arkansas's got 11. Like, hey, we need a couple.
Well, we only need a few teams.
That's right, only need four teams.
And if you got to mix in a guy in the G League or plays in Europe just to fill out the roster,
sure.
Dude, just do it, whatever.
The four, not four nations, four colleges, four, what are we calling it? A four-game round-robin with a champ. And who's winning? Is it going to be Team UCLA or Team Michigan State for bragging rights? Because what you're trying to find is just what will they care about?
You couldn't do this though because LeBron wouldn't be involved.
Well, right.
You got to have LeBron involved in some way.
Team high school.
He loves Mike Coach K, so maybe he would play for Duke.
Team high school is funny.
Okay. Yeah. Are there enough guys
probably
left?
Probably like four guys, maybe.
No, because they got rid of that rule like so long ago that I think they're all gone. Garnett's gone. LeBron's still playing, but, you know, there's not enough.
Have LeBron be the ref.
J.R. Smith did it. I like that a lot. Can we replace the Pro Bowl and do this for football? Team SEC against Team
I thought
Ten.
About conferences, but the conferences change every 5 minutes, so that'd be tough. You might have graduated an SEC or graduated Big 12, and now you're in the SEC.
Instead of the Pro Bowl, we're going to do the Bama alum against the Ohio State alum. That's our new Pro Bowl.
People in the chat say do the college thing by conference. You just wouldn't play with the same.
You're right though, because the conferences are so different. Like,
and they're mega conferences now.
Like, if a kid played for Texas when they're in the Big 12, who does he play for now? Does he play for the SEC team or does he play for the Big 12 team?
I'm sorry, I know that would probably work if you did four mega conferences, but I'm not if I'm a player, I don't play for the SEC the same way that I would play for Kentucky. If I get to play for my alma mater, that's a big deal.
You know? That's where, like, I just do it by where you're from. Do it by where you're from, state wise or city wise, whatever.
Hometown?
Yeah. Team right. Brooklyn against Team LA. All the natives of New York City versus all the natives of LA.
803-0550 to join us if you want. Wide open segment when we return. We've got some cool stuff to kick around here on WGR.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.